President Biden heads to Atlanta today to deliver what he hopes will be a powerful voting rights speech. He's expected to urge support for two new national voting rights bills and to blast voting rights restrictions in Georgia and around the country. It's a pivot for President Biden, whose first year in office has focused on the COVID-19 pandemic and his economic agenda, including infrastructure and the stalled $2 trillion Build Back Better bill. But to pass the new voting legislation, Biden would first have to weaken Senate filibuster rules, something Biden endorses but seems unlikely with two Democratic holdouts, Senator Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. So how pivotal is this moment for the president and the country? And how did past presidents pass the voting rights laws that so many of us now take for granted? Let's bring in here and now historian Julian Zelizer, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University. Welcome back. Great to have you.
Thanks for having me.
So what does this moment mean for Joe Biden's presidency as we head into an election year with a few major political setbacks already haunting him?
It's extremely important on two levels. One, the right to vote and protecting that right is absolutely essential in any democracy. And this is the moment that Democrats feel they have to push back against the voting restrictions that have taken place in many red states. And second, there's a partisan dimension. Republicans have pushed for these kinds of restrictions, seeking a partisan advantage. And many Democrats fear if Biden can't get this legislation through, Democrats will be at a distinct disadvantage in the coming years.
Well, it's interesting to look back at this historically, because when Lyndon Johnson passed the Voting Rights Act in 1965, which banned literacy tests and authorized the investigation of poll taxes, he managed it with a Senate vote of 77-19. How did President Johnson galvanize that support? Because President Biden faces a very different political landscape today.
Well, he already had huge majorities. This takes place after the 1964 elections, when the Democrats, their seats increased dramatically. So he started with that. But he also had the civil rights movement that was pushing the nation toward moving away from a status quo of nothing and toward legislation. And the Civil Rights Act of 64 had already changed Washington a few months earlier. And when protesters marched on Selma and they were attacked by police authorities, it just changed public opinion, including in the Senate. So Johnson did have those advantages or forces working behind him.
Well, and it's important to note that the Voting Rights Act worked. I mean, the percentage of black people voting increased from 6% in 1964 to 59% in 1969, just 5 years later. Do you think the legislation that Biden is proposing could have a similar impact?
Well, it could at least have an impact of stopping the reversal that we've seen since the Supreme Court in 2013 undermined the Voting Rights Act. I don't know what kind of expansion you'll have, but I certainly think it would prevent the reversal. And what you said about 65 is so important. It was one of the great legislative accomplishments in our democracy. And the fight now is to restore that and make it part of our political fabric.
Well, what's interesting is even if many of Biden's traditional allies are actually skipping his Georgia speech today, including several voting rights and civil rights groups. James Woodall, the former president of Georgia's NAACP, said on this program yesterday, quote, "We don't have the luxury of waiting anymore. We need actions," end quote. It seems like the president has an uphill battle here, even without the congressional votes that he really needs.
He does. But we should remember that Johnson initially in 65 wanted to wait on a voting rights bill and leave that to later in his term. But the protesters in Selma basically forced his hand. And they were also angry with the administration. And they said, we are not going to wait any longer. This happens now. So the question is this a kind of destructive tension between Biden and the activists? Or like in 65, does it lead to a path of producing a bill?
Destructive tension. Is this a misstep on President Biden's part in any way?
Well, his critics will say this should have been a priority number one after the election, when he had his greatest momentum. And by waiting, things get harder. And he's now in this situation in part because of strategic decisions about timing. And some believe that he didn't elevate this issue in terms of the urgency of legislation that's needed.
That's Princeton historian Julian Zelizer. Julian, thanks as always.
Thanks for having me.
And a note that you can hear President Biden and Vice President Harris speaking from Atlanta this afternoon on many of these NPR news stations.